The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Hi, everybody. You're invited along today to join me as I explore some of the more hot topic items that we're hearing about that are going through the legislature or that are on the nightly news. We've been looking at this supposed war on women, and it might be a good time to kind of step back for a little bit and to discuss what this actually means. Is it just a catchy phrase? Is there something going on we should know about? How do we approach it? How can we dissect it? How can we analytically look at this and actually decide if this is something that is valid, something that should be undertaken, something that should concern us? Well, let's take a look at all of this today. In my view, at least, this should really be a no-brainer. That there's an uproar even about something as commonsensical as whether or not women are being repressed right now is testimony to the successful skewing, or should I say screwing, of general public opinion. Should family planning services be available to women at no charge? Yes. If our earth is overpopulated, if women need this in order to control their future, their life, which is all we all have, we look to our future, we plan our futures, we're seen as responsible when we take charge of our futures. If we're doing this, if we're supposed to do this and be responsible, then of course we need to make family planning available to women. Abortion services, how about those? Abortion is legal in this country, and yet we have laws that have been passed that prohibit federal funds from financing any of it. How does this make sense? If we have a law that says abortion is legal, why do we have a law that basically puts it out of reach for anybody who finds that they need it for any reason or another? That isn't our domain. That's not for us to say. It's not our judgment call. We all have our own religious beliefs, and those have to be honored. And that's how we make our own moral choices, isn't it? We choose. If we choose to steal from somebody, that's a moral choice. No one walks into our house and handcuffs us to ensure that we can't go out and steal or rob someone. This comes down to an individual moral choice, and we each are moral agents who need to act on our own moral beliefs. We cannot, as moral agents, conversely, impose those beliefs that we have on others. That is counterintuitive. You can't expect to do what you need to do to stay true to your values, your principles, and your religion, while at the same time denying that freedom to anyone else. They are us. We are each other. We deserve the same respect. We each have a common dignity. We each have the right and the need to control our lives, our destiny, our homes, our freedoms. We are not here to be somebody else's slave or to do what somebody else decides we should be doing in order to please them. How this ever got to this point is interesting, and I think it would take a whole nother session to sit back and to try to look historically at how this line began to move further and further and further down the pike away from each of us being free. This is the land of the free. This is America by God. We have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press. Freedom to be safe in our own homes and secure, to not have people do unreasonable searches and seizures. What happened? We are no longer there, are we? So at some point, we need to sit down and look back at the history, and also, and perhaps even more importantly, at how the history is being displayed to us, how it's being told, whether it's accurate. And for instance, let me give you an example here. We are being told constantly that this country is a Christian nation founded on Christian principles, that our founding fathers set it up that way, and that from the founding we have been a Christian nation. That is patently false. We've heard it over and over again, to the point where I think most people just let it trickle down into their psyche, and we've come to accept that. But in historical truth, it doesn't exist that way. That is not what happened. In fact, two of our founding fathers, Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson, were very anti-religion, anti-Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So they were all about back then. And if you go back and look, go ahead and read the Constitution. It's very short. It's under 2,000 words. God isn't mentioned once in it. Not even God, much less Jesus. So we're not a nation founded on Christian principles. We're a nation founded on equality principles, on idealistic principles, on the higher path, on how to live nobly with each other and to grant each other the ultimate freedom to live our lives without government telling us what we can and can't do. The government, to get back to this idea about women, the government has no right whatsoever in any way, shape, or form to tell women what they can or they should do. As I like to tell other people when I have a one-on-one discussion with them, you know, until the day they yank the condoms off the shelves, men need to stay out of women's issues that have to do with reproduction or sexuality. As soon as they don't have any access to condoms, they don't have access to Viagra, they don't have access to vasectomies, until that is yanked from men, they need to stay out of our issues. They cannot possibly understand what it's like to go from being able to control your life and your finances, to handle yourself, to pay your bills, to having a child that you did not plan. And yes, folks, accidents happen. Things happen. Men don't necessarily want the girlfriend or the person they're with to have a child either. So in many cases, this is in a man's best interest to make sure the government doesn't probe and push and penalize and tamper down the rights of women in this area. They will have to pay child support if we can find them and track them down. But even harder than forking some money over every month is the ongoing daily, day and night, 24/7 task of raising another human being from birth to the rest of your life. Because as those of us who have children of our own know, that task never goes away. It doesn't matter if our children are 17 or 37. They are still our child. We still care. Demands are still made upon us. And it's something that has to be an individual choice. It cannot, should not, must not come down to government. It must not come down to those who have no stake in it. Any court case, for you to be able to file it, has a requirement, and that is that you are a stakeholder, that you have a vested interest in the outcome. You can't just be somebody flying off willy-nilly, looking around and saying, you know what, I don't think this is good. It's not good for this person. It's not good for that person. I'm going to file a suit. But you can't do that. Our courts of law say, unless you personally are affected, you cannot do this. Well, the people in Congress are not stakeholders in our own individual American lives. They're not. They need to stay out of it entirely. And the irony is that it is generally the far right, these great proclaimers of small government, less government, who are overreaching and putting their hands directly into our lives at the most intimate, the most personal level. So these are the kinds of things we need to be aware of. These are the kinds of things we need to watch out for. And again, like I said, in another session, I will actually talk about the history. Is how did we get from being able to wear t-shirts that had political slogans, being able to march in the streets or to make proclamations from the street corners, or express our displeasure, being able to write or say what we want, from being able to walk down the street and not have to obey somebody who wants to stop and frisk us. How did we get to this point so far so fast? And like I said, we do need to look at that at some point. But the point of it is here is we need to understand no one, and especially other women, when other women interfere with this and they get on the bandwagon of pro-life, we're pro-life, women have no right to abortion, that's a life. That always really gets me, because women can't be working against each other at this time. It's a critical time for all of us. And it isn't that far to go from we have no control over our reproduction to you're going to wear a burqa and not drive a car. So when we point our fingers at the Islamic nations, we need to realize what we're doing that actually sits on top of all women in their ability to live their own lives unimpeded, uninterfered with by a patriarchal society. It's really frightening when you take a step back and look at this. Other women need to be aware of the fact that if they're truly pro-life, and by the way, those who are pro-choice are also very much pro-life, very much pro-life. They are not against life. They are against the best life for everyone. They are against children being born into abusive homes or druggy homes or into homes that can't possibly take care of them, or against into homes where they're going to have no choice in life but to go into the military and lay their lives on the line, or perhaps worse, their mental well-being on the line in the supposed service of their country, when that country is basically overstepping its bounds and creating conflicts that would not otherwise exist in order to enrich corporations that supply the military-industrial complex. You see, we have to look further. If you're pro-life, what you're going to talk about is all of the kids born into poverty that shouldn't be born into poverty, and this is where birth control and abortion services are important. You're going to be looking at the kids down the pike who go to bed hungry at night. And there are millions of them in our country that don't have enough to eat. What about them? If you're pro-life, what about them? If you're pro-life, why in the world are we not all marching against the military operations that are killing thousands and thousands of our young people, and tens of thousands of them come back home damaged? They are not themselves ever again. They are explosive. They have post-traumatic stress syndrome. They can't work. They can't find jobs. We're in a country that doesn't even have jobs, enough jobs for our people, and it doesn't have to do with immigration. Sorry, no. It has to do with the fact that everything is about the corporations, their regulations being limited on our backs. So we pay the price of them making great profits while we become more and more disabled as empowered citizens. So these are a lot of things that we need to think about, but pro-life, do not confuse pro-life with, gee, if I'm pro-life, I have to be against abortion. No, you can be very pro-life and for a woman being able to say, you know what, I don't have the money for this. I was either raped, I was drunk, I made a mistake, I had an accident. Even in birth control, when people use birth control, things don't always go that way, and women have turned up pregnant who are on the pill and who have used other birth control devices, or if there have been condoms involved. So it's not fair to sit and try to make moral judgments and cast somebody as being bad if they do what is ultimately best for them and any child that would be born. As one guy that I talked to many years ago, but he was an older man, and it kind of surprised me, and he said, No one should ever have to have a child that they can't take care of or don't want to take care of. That's madness. That's creating problem people for the world. If you can't parent them and don't want to, you're not going to raise them with love. You're not going to raise them right. They're going to be either non-productive, sociopaths, psychopaths, or messed up people who are a danger to others and certainly not a benefit to society. In other words, this is a big, big topic. It's been boiled down to a lot of little sound bites. It's been boiled down to some slogan-like sounding things. It's been made simplistic, pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. And without people thinking it through and saying, why are they so quiet when it comes to their sons and daughters or their neighbor's sons and daughters being sent into a conflict where there's depleted uranium to poison them, there are situations there to create mental distress and ongoing psychological problems for the rest of their lives and their families' lives, or where they may be maimed. We have so many Americans who have come home missing limbs or genitals, who are destroyed, who can't walk anymore, who can't see anymore. Now, for pro-life, isn't that where we need to start? It's really time for peace. It's really time for seeing that we don't have to be killing or be killed. It's time to see that we need to support each other, help each other. We can do better. We can reach higher. Thank you. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.